Talk today about the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha on Yom HaKippur. We spoke last week a little bit about Kriyas HaTorah on Atinus in general, about the meaning of Vayechal and why in a regular public fast day we read Vayechal. But now let's talk a little bit about the differences between a regular Atinus Tzibur of that which we fast throughout the year and the days of Yom HaKippurim and perhaps Tisha B'Av as well. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, just to begin, the Shulchan Aruch says that although on a regular Shabbos we have the practice by Mincha, when we take out the Sefer Torah, we say, Va'anis v'ilasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzon. When it comes to taking out the Sefer Torah on Yom Kippur afternoon, we do not have that practice. So you'll say, it's trivial, it's not a major detail, it's not a big deal, probably most of us never noticed it, but it gives a little bit of meaning as to why we do it on Shabbos. I never thought about why we do it on Shabbos, but the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah expands upon it, explains why it is that we say it on a regular Shabbos by Mincha. And that is based on a medrash on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Yasichu bi yoshve shaar unuginos shose shechar." They will talk about me, those who drink wine, and they will sing songs, those who drink beer. Amar David lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The medrash says David HaMelech calls out to God, and he says, "Ribono shel Olam, Rishayim, look at the contrast between us when we eat and drink, and the Rishayim, the rest of the world, when they eat and drink and act merry." Kishashosin umishtakrim, when the rest of the world goes ahead and eats and drinks and is all excited. Yoshvim umenagrim, they sit and they sing and they waste their time and they talk lashon hara and they do all kinds of things. Va'ani enikein, that's not the way I am, says David HaMelech. Ela va'ani svilasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzon. I always have God on my lips. I always have your tefillah. I always have an interest in talking to you, even after I go ahead and eat and even after I drink. I never lose sight of the fact that that's what I'm supposed to do and that is my mission. And therefore, we do it specifically on Shabbos afternoon after we've eaten a big meal, after we've drank a lot at the meal. We come to Mincha on Shabbos afternoon and we say, Va'anis v'lasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzon, because that's the way we respond, that's the way we react after eating and drinking and after getting ourselves excited. We never lose sight of the fact that the Ribono Shel Olam is the one who our goal, who our eye is supposed to be on. But on Yom Kippur, says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Tur, since on Yom Kippur we don't eat and we don't drink anyway, so there's no contrast. The rest of the world is the same way. When they don't eat and they don't drink, they're also in a somber mood. So we also act the same way, and there's no reason to say, Va'anis v'lasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzon. That's an interesting idea as to why it is that we don't recite this paragraph before we take out the Sefer Torah on Yom Kippur afternoon, although we say it on a regular Shabbos afternoon. So our practice is that we say on Mincha of Yom Kippur, we read from Parshas Acharei Mos, which is what the Torah discusses, all of the Isuri Arayus, all the forbidden marriages and all of the relationships that one is not allowed to have. There's a major discussion in the Rishonim as to why we choose Parshas Arayus. It doesn't seem to have any connection at all to the experience of Yom Kippur. Why do we choose that one Parsha, which talks about the inappropriate relationships on Yom Kippur? Why is that the highlight of our davening in Mincha? So Rashi writes the following. Rashi says, it's to remind us, Shemi Shiyesh Biyado Averos Yifrosh Mehem. It's to remind us that he who has Averos, he who has violated some wrongdoings during the year, you should be Poresh Mehem. You shouldn't get involved in them. Lefisha Harayos Avera Mitsuya. And why do we single out this Arayos to talk about? There are many Averos that we all do. Why don't we speak about Lashon Hara? Why don't we speak about Machlokes? Because Rashi says human nature is that we all have problems with Arayos. We all stumble in it in some way. We have a lust, we have a desire for our rayos, everyone in their own way, everyone on their own level. Therefore Rashi says, we single out this avera to speak about, but really it's just to portray that we should think about all the averas that we do, and this happens to be one that is very commonly found in most of the members of our communities. The Mordechai takes it a little further and he says, we're supposed to read it, remind ourselves that we've all stumbled in this area, we've all made mistakes over the past year in this regard, and we should think about doing tshuva as we remind ourselves of the Isuri Arayis, of the forbidden marriages, of the forbidden relationships that we are not allowed to have. So that's the opinion of the Mordechai, of Rashi, of the Rambam, and that's what the Beis Yosef writes as well. Tosfos goes out of his way and he says, no, there's a different reason why we read Parshas Arayis. Tosfos says the reason why is Lefi Shehanashim Mikushatos Lekavad Hayom. Since the women are all dressed up Lekavad Yamtiv, since the women are coming to shul with lots of makeup and lots of jewelry and beautiful clothing and everything, therefore we have to remind everybody that there's going to be a break after Mincha. Don't hang out too much with the women and get caught up in something you're not supposed to do. And I find this so incredibly amazing. Tosfos writes that on Yom Kippur, in the middle of the day of Yom Kippur, that's when we're concerned. So we go to a wedding every day of the year when we have a wedding and all the women are all dressed up much fancier than they would ever be dressed up on Yom Kippur, and they're wearing much more makeup and much more jewelry, and we don't get up in the middle of the wedding and read the Parsha of Arayos to remind everyone not to watch the women dance and not to look at the way they're dressed and not to get carried away. But here on the middle of Yom Kippur, that's what we're concerned about. I don't know, to me it's a very surprising statement, but that's what Tosis writes. Not supposed to wear makeup on Yom Kippur. No, Rabbi Kivager writes, you're not supposed to wear gold on Yom Kippur because that reminds us of the Egel Azov. That reminds us of bad times. But jewelry, a woman's allowed to wear jewelry. Someone just called me this week and said she heard that you're not allowed to wear rings on Yom Kippur. I don't think that's a correct statement. No, so to put makeup on Yom Tov, you don't. But women get dressed up to come to shul on Yom Tov. So, you know, whatever. Tosis points out that they're going to be more dressed up than usual, and therefore we have to be more concerned. We have to go out of our way to read the Parsha of Arayos. Again, to me, once you go with that logic, whenever we have a chasna, whenever we have a simcha, a bar mitzvah, we should always read from Parshas Arayos to remind ourselves not to get carried away. So that's a surprising statement. Tosis writes also...
Or, it's not a problem.
Yeah. What's not a problem?
Tosis isn't concerned by simcha, more concerned by Yom Kippur.
He's more concerned by Yom Kippur? That's very surprising.
No, he says you're allowed to watch women next week.
Okay.
So... No, but you also... That's, maybe that's why...
I don't know. I don't know. So it's a surprising statement. I think I seem to remember that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I didn't have a chance to look it up today, but I think Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a comment in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Maybe I'm misquoting who it's from and where it's from, but I think Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has it, that he points out this question, what, on Yom Kippur is the day where you're so nervous? So he says, yeah, that's exactly the cycle of life. Either you're going up or you're going down. If on Yom Kippur you're not inspired, it means you're going down. And you can go as far down as Arayos. That's how far away a person could be. What? It could be. I don't know. We can have our own interpretations, but it's a surprising comment that Tosis makes. Tosis writes perhaps another interpretation as to why we read Parshas Arayos in the middle of Mincha on Yom Kippur. Tosis says, because the same way that we were told, Lo Legalos Erva, not to look at somebody undressed that we're not supposed to look at, so too we ask God, don't be Megala Erva on us. Don't find us to be undressed. At Erev Ve'eria, don't find us to be people who don't have any mitzvahs. Don't find us and uncover all of our averus that we have. So that's, so to speak, a play on it, says Tosis. The same way we are told not to be Megala Erva, God is also, we're reminding him, Megala Erva, also not to embarrass us on Yom HaKippur. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes a final comment that perhaps the reason why we do this is because we're told in the Mishnah and Maseches Tainis that there was a practice on Yom Kippur that they would go and try to find the Shidduch, and all the single girls would go out, all the boys would go out, and they would dance in circles, and they would all look at each other and try to find the Shidduch. So he says, we remind each other that which people are you allowed to marry, which are you not. Today is the day when everyone's going to go on the dates. Today is the day when everyone's going to be hanging around and trying to find the Shidduch. So that's the day when we should remind everybody, look, you're not allowed to marry this cousin, you're not allowed to marry that relative, and we have to remind them what's within the limits and what is out of bounds. So that's a basic overview of why it is that we read Parshas Arayos on Mincha of Yom HaKippurim. The question is, what about if you have someone who's not fasting? Are we allowed to give such a person an aliyah on a fast day or not? So the Shulchan Aruch writes clearly in Hilchos Tainis, Siman Tavkuf Samach Vav, that he quotes the Maharik, that a person who is not fasting on a public fast day is not allowed to get an aliyah when we learn from the Sefer Torah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. He quotes in the name Yesh Misha Omer. So I don't know if that means he believes there are those who disagree, or he just says it's only found in the Maharik. The Maharik is the one who quotes this opinion. So he says there is an opinion that believes that, and the Shulchan Aruch goes so far as to say if you happen to be a Kohen, and you're the only Kohen in the Beis HaKnesses, and you're not fasting on a fast day, on a public fast day, you should walk out in order that they should call up somebody else in your place. Because it's not right to have somebody who's not fasting be the one to take the aliyah on a public fast day. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's worthy of pointing out, what if somebody eats shiurim? What if somebody is fasting on Tisha B'Av, but they're eating just a little bit at a time? So for the most part, they're fasting, but they're eating every 9 minutes a little bit. So I would have said, you're not called fasting. No, that's what I would have said. Why is everyone looking at me? No? What? So what I find surprising is that the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avram, the Halicha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, no, a person who eats shiurim is still considered to be fasting. You're eating shiurim, which means you're eating every 9 minutes. That's not really called breaking your fast. And therefore he says that somebody who's... why else would you be eating the shiurim? That's a good question. So why don't we all eat shiurim then? So that's what I don't understand. So I thought from the fact that the rest of us don't eat shiurim means you're not allowed to eat shiurim because otherwise you're considered to be not fasting. And if you're eating shiurim means you're not really fasting, but you're trying to do something, so you eat the shiurim. And I don't know. So to me this was surprising. The Marcheshes, one second, the Marcheshes writes, the Marcheshes was one of the great Gedolim right before the Holocaust. The Marcheshes writes, and Rav Soloveitchik was fond of quoting the Marcheshes in this context as well. So he writes the following, Zachruni, I remember Kshayisi Chola b'Tisha B'Av. He writes about himself, I remember when I was sick on Tisha B'Av. Vayakasha alaya tainis, I wasn't able to fast Tisha B'Av because I wasn't well. Nahakti ba'atzmi lechol pachas bachas mikashir. I tried not to eat more than every 9 minutes, whatever the certain amount, which again is a whole discussion whether on Tisha B'Av you have to worry about it or is that only Yom Kippur, doesn't matter. Why do you do that? Kedei shelo eya ma'abidas ha'tayne shelosa ha'yom shehimi divrei kabbalah v'chamer kishal yom ha'kippur. I did that in order that I wouldn't lose my fast on Tisha B'Av. So I ate every 9 minutes. This way I can still be considered fasting. And then he writes in the next paragraph, and I was able to get an aliyah. Because had I not eaten the shiurim, had I eaten like a regular person on Tisha B'Av, because I was sick, I would not have been able to accept an aliyah. So that to me is a very surprising comment. I mentioned it to my father, that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes it also. He also thought it was a chiddush. He wasn't disagreeing. He just said it's a chiddush to point out that if a person eats shiurim, they're still considered to be fasting, and they are able to take the aliyah on a public fast day, even though the minhag is that somebody who's not fasting is not supposed to take an aliyah. The Shaarei Ephraim writes that although we have the practice that somebody who's not fasting doesn't take an aliyah on a public fast day, when it comes to Hagbo and Glila, you can give that to anybody. That's not part of the Kriyas HaTorah. That's something that just comes afterward. And we're allowed to give Hagbo and Glila to somebody even if they are not fasting on a public fast day. So this is all by a regular fast day. That's where the Shulchan Aruch discusses whether or not you're allowed to get an aliyah if you are not fasting. What about Mincha on Yom Kippur? So you'll say, why should Mincha on Yom Kippur be different than anything else? The same way on a public fast day, you wouldn't give Vayechal as an aliyah to somebody who's not fasting, so Yom Kippur should be the same thing. So this is a big suffix in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger has a question, how do we understand the reason why we lane by Mincha on Yom Kippur? Are we laning by Mincha on Yom Kippur because it's a public fast day, and the same way we lane by Echal on a regular fast day, over here we lane Parshas Arayas, but really it's the same kind of thing, or do we say no? On Yom Kippur, the laning is like Shabbos afternoon. It's because of the Kedusha Sayom. Because Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, therefore we have to lane by Mincha, the same way we lane by Mincha on Shabbos. But it has nothing at all to do with the fact that you're fasting. It has to do with the fact that today is a special day. Today is Yom HaKippurim. Today is like Shabbos. And that's why we lane by Mincha, the same way we lane by Mincha on Shabbos. And the Nafka Mina, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, is when you lane by Mincha on a Tainus Tibur, so Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, he was once present, where they had somebody in his community who was Al Eres Devai, who was on his deathbed, he was very sick, and Rabbi Kiva Eger writes that they made a minyan in his house for Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says they gave him an aliyah by Shachris, because Shachris, when we lane by Shachris, it's certainly because of the Kedushas Hayom, that's like Shabbos, that's for sure. But the question was, are we allowed to give him an aliyah by Mincha? And should we assume that the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha is because today is a public fast day, and therefore you should not get the aliyah? Or do we assume that the reason why we lane by Mincha on Yom Kippur is because today is like Shabbos, and therefore there's no problem to give an aliyah to someone who's not fasting? That's the major discussion that Rabbi Kiva Eger has, a big suffix, and that's the suffix that Rabbi Shlomo Kluger discusses as well. The Stechemet quotes it from many other Achronim, but then the Marcheshes goes a little bit further. The Marcheshes, Rabbi Henech Zusha Egish, I think his name was, one second, I have his name written down, Egish. So he writes the following. He says, maybe you can determine what is the nature, what is the status of the Mincha, Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur, from a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Rama. We have a discussion between the Mechaber and the Rama in Hilchas Yom Kippur. How do we end off the Kriyas HaHaftorah, the bracha for the Haftorah? I'm not a Balkaris, I don't know. But how do we end off the bracha for the Haftorah on Yom Kippur afternoon by Mincha? So do we end it off by just saying Magen David, which we do on a public fast day? Or do we end it off by saying Ala Torah v'Ala Havodah v'Al Yom HaKippur Mazeh? That's going to determine, says the Marcheshes, whether the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha is because today is a Yom HaKadosh, because today is like Shabbos, and in that case we end off Ala Torah v'Ala Havodah because that's recognizing the presence of Yom Kippur today. Or do we end it by Magen David because today is a public fast day, and that's where we're leaning. And therefore there's no reason to say Ala Torah v'Ala Havodah. That's a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Rama, and from there the Marcheshes wants to say should be the basis of whether or not you're allowed to give someone an aliyah if they're not fasting by Mincha, because Mincha on Yom Kippur, perhaps the Kriyas HaTorah that we do then is not because it's a public fast day, but rather because it is a day which is considered to be like Shabbos, and the Kedushas Hayom is what obligates us to go ahead and have the Kriyas HaTorah. And one final thing that gets involved in that is the following, that the Achronim write that we have the practice to lane by Mincha on Yom HaKippurim in the regular nusach of laning, not the Yom Narom nusach. That's what they write. Right? I think we have that practice. We lane Parshas Acharei Mos by Mincha on Yom Kippur, and we lane it with the regular Kriyas HaTorah trup. We don't lane it with the trup for Yom Narom. Ever wonder why is that? Why should it be different than the Yom Narom? Maybe that's based on this very issue as well. Because if you say that the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha on Yom Kippur is because of the Kedushas Hayom, it's because today is Yom Kippur, then you should lane it in the Yom Narom tune the same way we do everything else in the Yom Narom tune. But if you say that the laning by Mincha on Yom Kippur is because it's a public fast day, that has nothing to do with the fact that today is Yom HaKadosh, today is Yom HaKippurim, today is Yom Narayim. And therefore, perhaps this is the reason why we find that there's a little bit of a discrepancy with regard to the laning, the nusach of the laning, the trup. There's a discrepancy in Machlokas the Mechaber and the Ramah regarding how you end off the Haftorah Bracha by Mincha and Yom Kippur when we lane Sev Yonah. Do you end off with Allah Torah? Do you end off by Magin David? That's it, like a public fast day? And also that should be dependent on what Rabbi Kiva Eger writes. How do you understand whether or not somebody who's not fasting is able to get an aliyah by Mincha on Yom Kippur? Again, if you assume that that Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha on Yom Kippur is because today is a public fast day, then Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, the same way the Shulchan Aruch says every other time that a person who's not fasting shouldn't take an aliyah, so to over here we should do the same. But if you assume that it's because today is Yom Kippur, that today is a Yom HaKadosh, today is like Shabbos, then it would make sense, it would follow that a person who is not fasting would even be able to take this aliyah.